Hello, this is the Crush Monocle Podcast. I'm your host, Coop. This is a show where we talk about stuff, all the stuff, or at least some of the stuff. This is my co-host, John.
Hi.
And we have a guest tonight. On our this month's guest, he has been a legendary figure in the punk and hardcore scene for over 40 years. He's been in such bands as Shrine Builder, Men of Porn, Crystal Fairy, Fecal Matter, and he was even briefly in Nirvana for a time. He's played with other bands such as Off, Red Cross, Altamont, Hank Williams III, a ton of other bands, other projects, including solo records. But you probably know him best as the most consistent member of the Melvins, along with Buzz Osborne. Here to talk about the latest Melvins record, Tarantula Heart, and beyond, hopefully, the legendary Mr. Dale Crover.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Hello. That's quite the introduction.
Well, thank you.
We have this theme on the podcast where it's almost like Coop's introductions are like an obituary, or like the opening of a funeral.
Yeah, right.
Because he just goes through like your entire life, you know.
Please don't die.
Yeah. I don't plan on it today.
Good. Perfect.
So how you doing tonight, Dale?
I'm doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Real good.
Cool.
Awesome. How about you guys?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Where
are you guys?
Yeah. I am from Chicago. I'm currently in an undisclosed location in the suburbs.
Uh-huh.
In a bunker somewhere. I am from Salt Lake City, Utah.
All right. Are you in Salt Lake City right now?
I live in like a suburb called North Salt Lake that's like 5 minutes out of downtown.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a really fun place to live.
How about you, Dale? Where are you reporting from?
I live in La Quinta, California.
Nice.
Yeah. That's cool. That's Spanish for next to IHOP.
IHOP is the sticky Denny's, as I always call it.
Sticky Denny's, yeah. Right, because of all the syrup.
Yeah. Oh, God. This is great.
Yeah. See, I told you we talk about stuff. We usually start things off talking about what we listened to over the past month. I'm going to let you go first, John, so Dale can check out the format. What have you been listening to for the past month, John?
I mean, obviously the new Melvins album. Not just saying that because Dale's on the podcast, but... the new Melvins album kicks ass. We'll get into that.
Thank you.
There's a band, I think they're out of France, called Corridor. And their new album's called Mimi. And it's kind of like post-punky, drivey shit. It might be on Sub Pop, but I'm not positive on the label. The album cover's hilarious. It's like this really like fucked up cat face. So it's worth checking out. But yeah, it's kind of like driving post-punk shit. I've been listening to this band called Love Sex Machine, which is, they're out of Europe and they're signed to, Plegic Records, and it's just crazy heavy fucking kind of post-metal kind of shit. Absolutely loving that. And then there was one more that I had, and now I'm totally spacing it. Kinghorn. And I can't remember if they're out of Portland or where the hell they're at, but it's just this really like heavy kind of like driving like rock stuff, like traditional kind of rock stuff. Total riffs, total just kicks ass. And then last is the Glassing album.
Oh.
Which just came out. They might be on Plegic too in Europe, but yeah, the new Glassing album is really cool. I mean, I'm not a huge black metal guy.
Right.
But. They tend to kind of mix in like other genres and other vibes within kind of like black metal hints and stuff like that. So I think that that's definitely worth checking out. So I'll leave it at 4 and not talk about the 10 other things. So
what have you been listening to, Dale?
Yeah, I just had to look at my iTunes to see what I've been listening to. It's funny because, you know, lately I've been kind of stuck. I just finished a solo record, so I've been listening to it a lot. Just like usually when I make stuff, you know, and it just got mastered, so I listened to it a bunch after that just to make sure everything's okay. So
so
I've been listening to that. But besides my own stuff, I don't know, I kind of get stuck on listening to a lot of the same stuff, but a bunch of different Bowie stuff lately.
Cool.
I've been listening to the Aladdin Sane record a lot, which I really like a lot. That almost might be my favorite, but I don't know. I mean, he's got so many good records that like, I really like a lot of that stuff. And he has so many good players on that stuff. New stuff, there's a band from LA that is called Neoglobs that had a record that I grabbed that's pretty cool. Kind of, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it's kind of synth and keyboard driven a little bit, like maybe slightly off, but like a Devo-ish a little bit. The singer used to be
I've
in
never heard of these guys. Cool.
a yeah the singer used to be in a couple bands. Like, he was in a band called Starlight Desperation years ago, and I always thought he was a good singer, and he's this guy I just know from like Los Angeles, and whenever I see him post stuff on Instagram or whatever, I'm always kind of interested in it because I like his stuff. There's another band that I'm kind of interested in that I listen to a little bit from. They're from Southern California as well. I think they might be from, I can't remember if they're like from Downey or some weirdo place like that, called Plague Vendor, who are kind of getting. It seems like they're kind of getting a bit known. I've never seen either of these bands live, but I mean, it's weird. I just kind of both of those bands I just kind of stumbled across on the internet. And thought, oh, these guys are pretty cool. There's a new Ty Siegel record out that I've been listening to a bit.
That one's cool. For sure.
I like Ty a lot. I kind of played with him in the past, and I got him to do something on the new record that I have coming out too. So,
Cool,
nice,
nice.
yeah, just like a little guest thing, nothing. But it's cool. Like, I always thought he was a really great guitar player, singer, songwriter, that kind of stuff. So, let me look and see if there's anything else kind of interesting besides the usual. Well, it looks like I've been listening to the Rolling Stones. Go figure.
There you go.
Oh, Tom Waits record, Heart Attack and Vine. Oh, I heard my daughter listening to PJ Harvey the other day, and I had to grab this record. I mean, I probably had it, but it's Stories from the City, Stories from the Sea. It's funny because sometimes I'll hear stuff coming from her room. I'm like, what is that? What is that? What is that? And I'll know it half the time. But
You're like, that voice sounds so familiar.
yeah, or just like, yeah, it's recognizable. But I mean, she's definitely found a lot of stuff on her own. The first Lou Reed solo record, which I thought was pretty cool. Just in case you wanted to know, that Neoglobs record is called Salt and Sea, which is actually
Cool.
a area not too far from where I live that was kind of like a weird man-made body of water. Oh,
Cool, cool.
here's a good one, which is kind of funny. The first Romantics record,
Oh, okay, yeah.
which is kind of
Like
like a
kind of late
weird.
70s.
It kind of sounds like, I really like the first Knack record, and like that first Knack record is something that Melvins used to listen to a bunch when we were like touring. It's like really good pop. Like, the drummer on that record's fucking really great. And this
100%.
Romantics record is kind of reminds me of that. It's in that vein, I mean, all I really knew about them before was like their MTV hits.
Wasn't their drummer their singer?
Yeah, I think so, which is
Yeah.
cool, you know.
Yeah, it's
There
kind of
needs to
cool.
be
For sure.
more drummer singers.
100%.
Actually, Ty Siegel has that band Fuzz where he's the singer, drummer singer.
Oh,
yep. Yeah, there's a bunch of bands out now that I like that are drummer singers.
Yeah, it's cool.
So.
That's really good. I always point out that that Soundgarden, when they first started out, were a three piece and Chris Cornell was the drummer singer. So, yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like John Times Two. Have you ever heard of those guys, Dale?
No.
Yeah, they drive really hard. They're out of the UK. They're just a duo. It's guitar, drums, and the singer's a drummer.
Cool.
So yeah, if you're into that type of thing or just that setup, like check those guys out. They kick ass.
Sounds
So
good.
yeah.
What I've been listening to this past month, I was going to say the new Melvins record, but John already got beat me to that joke.
Well, like, you can also say that you listen to that. I
mean, so I listened to the new Melvins record called Tarantula Heart.
Great.
The other things that I listened to was a band called False Flag. I think they're from Sacramento, I think. It's like old school hardcore kind
of. Oh, wait. Yeah, okay. I think I know these guys.
Yeah, they're kind of thrashy. You know, it's real ugly, aggressive, hardcore meets thrash. The album's called 1 Million Tons.
Yeah, okay.
And it just looks like something you would have like on a hand-drawn cassette, you know. super, super cool stuff. Real quick listen. The other thing I listen to is called, it's a little different, it's called Winter's Lane. The album's called Trails. It's a instrumental album. I don't know a lot about the band, so I don't know if every record they have is instrumental. But it's kind of progressive in a way, but it's also kind of like that late 2000s emo punk kind of. That sounds really weird to be mixed with progressive, but it kind of gives it a real shoegaze vibe. Kind of.
Okay. I mean, there was a ton of like early 2000s like instrumental bands, so like I think I kind of get the vibe.
Yeah, it's kind of indescribable. It can't really be emo without the whiny vocals, but it just kind of gives me that kind of sound. The album's called Trails. It's really good. And the other thing that I listened to is just a single, but our friend's Transylvania Stud recently.
Oh, cool.
He just dropped a cover of Stone Temple Pilots' Dead and Bloated.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of like a reimagining of that song as if it was like this, you know, like sludge, you know, stoner rock version.
Yeah. He needs to make some more, like, new shit, like his original shit.
Yeah, know? I know.
Like,
if you're listening to this, Andrew, get to it.
Come on,
man. and that's what I've been listening to.
Nice.
So that's a good segue to back to Tarantula Heart. All right. So Dale, I want to say that this record for the Melvins is, I know it's probably your millionth album, but it's a very good a starter record if no one's checked out the Melvins. I think.
Really, you think so?
I do.
Wow.
I think it embodies everything that you guys used to do mid era, and it's still very relevant and modern.
Wow. Well, thank you. I didn't know. I mean, it's hard for me to tell, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, when you make something, too, it's just like you kind of... I mean, I can't tell. It's funny because records that I think I like that we made, I'm always like, oh, nobody's going to like this, you know? It's just too odd. And I don't know. It's like it definitely is like has a lot of repetitive riffs and maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. It's like, I just thought it was like weird, kind of psychedelic, jammy. And I wasn't really sure what people would think, you know?
Yeah.
So, but it seems like we've gotten a really good response. So what do I know?
Yeah.
What do I know? I just make the thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a really weird way to make a record too. And definitely it was something. We've never quite made a record like this. In fact, I mean, you know, I don't think we really thought, we didn't even really go into the studio with the idea that we were making a record, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most of it was like, we decided to do some recording with our friend Roy Mayorga who we just toured with Ministry. And
yeah,
it was almost like, hey, what are you doing? You want to come over and jam? You know,
it was
just like that, you know. We'd just been on tour with those guys, and, you know, we knew Roy from before, like when we toured Ozfest, he was in Soulfly, so we would kind of talk to him on that tour a bunch, but, you know, hadn't seen him since then. I kind of reconnected and, you know, spent a lot more time with him since it was just our two bands on tour, and so we really got to know him well. And we always thought he was a really great drummer. And
for sure.
And we invited him to like jam with us at the show, you know, on a couple of our last songs of the set. So it was really easy touring with those guys, you know, like his drums were the way that they set up, like his drums were on like they have drums stage left, keyboard stage right, so the center, you know, didn't have it, like they didn't have to move anything, we didn't have to move anything, so he was always set up, and we're just like, oh, it'd be really easy to have him play a couple songs. And so I think just from doing that, we're like, oh, we should jam. And so he came down, and I think I don't remember spending more than like one, maybe 2 days tracking drum stuff, and it was just all kind of like improvised, you know.
Okay.
Like, we've always been into this record by Public Image Limited called Flowers of Romance, that has I mean, it's really based around the drums, that record, and it's Martin Atkins, who funny enough was in Ministry at one point, where they had two drummers, you know. I think it was him, might have been him and Bill Riflin at the same time, I think. I'm not positive, but I know they had, at one point they had two drummers. And so, you know, we kind of, I mean, definitely there's a couple songs where we're like, play a Public Image type of beat, you know. But otherwise it was just kind of like riffing off of each other, and both Steven and Buzz were playing along with us and had maybe some riffs that were influencing our playing, but you know,
right,
it was just kind of all these long jams that then we kind of took those and formed them into something, you know. Roy also like played a bunch of synthesizer stuff over the top of some of it, you know, but it was really like, yeah, it was, I mean, that we've never really done a record that way, you know.
So the songs were built from like the drums up, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Holy shit, that's cool as hell.
For the most part, there's one song on the record that I know that we recorded before that was more structured. I can't remember which one it is right off the top of my head, and it's funny because when Buzz played it for me, it's like I kind of remember recording it. You know, it was like, it was recorded when we were doing some recording with Matt Cameron from Soundgarden for like his kind of solo thing. And it was like something that we recorded before he got to the studio one day. Like, let's learn the song really quick and we'll record it. And we did. And then, you know, and I played it that day a bunch and forgot about it since we finished it. So, which there's a lot of stuff like that, you know? You know, recording for us nowadays is a lot different than it used to be, because in the good old days, or bad old days, whichever you want to call them, it would be, you know, us having to, like, rent a studio if we're going to do a record. It was more planned out, you know. Right. Definitely way more rehearsed. Like, we had all of our songs down before we went in because we were paying for it, you know. And studio time, like, 20 years ago, whatever, was way more expensive. You know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday, this amp repair guy, and we were just talking about how he used to work for a studio doing repairs, and he's like, yeah, all the rooms in LA, I mean, there was tons of studios in LA, were like, you know, at the cheapest, some of them were like, you know, at least $1,000 a day, you know, at least that much, if not more. And so you really couldn't, unless you had like some huge budget, which we never had, really had to have your stuff down if you were going to like not spend a bunch of money. And so now, and especially with the format and everything like that, which we're recording on, which I really like myself. I like digital. I mean, there's no way we could have made this record and it would have sounded the same way had it been analog, had it been 20 years ago. No way.
Yeah, I mean, just with all that, like, yeah.
There's a shit ton of stuff going on this record. You know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Toshi had his work cut out for him, really, you know, and he did a lot of work just, like, piecing the whole thing together and, like, making it sound good, you know.
Yeah.
He really did a great job.
As usual.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, we've been working with him for a long time. He's, like, one of the, I think he's the best engineer we've ever worked with. He's really fast, really good, really knows what he's doing. I've made a tons of records with him now. But anyway, you know, yeah, there's no way that this record could have been made, you know, 20 years ago or whatever. And like, well, what I was getting at is now we kind of have the luxury to like, where we rehearse is the studio. So we can, if we have a new song, we can sit there, work the whole thing out, work on it for an hour and go, okay, let's record it right now. You know,
yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
it's quicker than that. Sometimes not, you know, just kind of depends. I mean, I'm pretty quick at learning, you know, especially with Buzz's stuff can be somewhat complicated sometimes. But I mean, after playing this long, I kind of know what he's doing and can kind of figure it out. But it's great because it's always a challenge.
You guys have to be mind melded at this point, right?
Decades
you played together.
Sure, but then he can still come up with like a weird riff that's complicated. That's, I mean, not that it's like, he doesn't necessarily write it just to be complicated. You know, it's just kind of whatever.
Right, for sure.
I mean,
for sure.
He's somebody that doesn't have, like any formal musical training or knowledge of reading or anything like that, or even like knowing kind of what time signature he's writing in or whatever, because sometimes it could be like multiple, you know. And the way like the way he describes stuff is like, this has this little weird hiccup in it, you know. But for me, it's as long as I can figure out where the downbeat is, I can count it from there. And sometimes stuff doesn't start on the downbeat, you just kind of have to figure it out, you know. I mean, it stumps a lot of people. But yeah, I mean, after this long, I kind of know it, you know. But and I mean, I'm always up for the challenge of stuff anyway.
Well, I mean, that's cool that he's still like bringing you things, you know, or writing stuff, or you guys are writing stuff together, where you're like, wait, what the hell is this? I got to figure this out for a second.
Right. Like, I mean, I guess the thing about that, and maybe part of the reason why we've been playing together for so long, and it just because it's always interesting, and I like it. I mean, I really like the music that we come up with. It's always really interesting for me. It's always exciting and fun, you know, if it wasn't, maybe things would be different. I don't know, you know. But I mean, I really enjoy what we can come up with musically. He's a really, really great person to play with, as far as that goes. Never boring. He always has like a ton of different riffs that we can play, and it's great, you know. I mean, I couldn't think of a better situation to be in, and I'm grateful for all that, you know. I'm grateful that we've had this long of a career, being able to make pretty weird music and actually be able to like actually have people like it, you know, and be able to like make a living off of it, you know. I mean, and to be able to do that nowadays is I mean, I couldn't imagine like having to start over or having to be a new band trying to like do this, because it, you know, it was already hard enough, you know. And now it's just I mean, it's really, I don't know what you have to do to be able to have even a little bit of success, other than just to be like completely different from anybody else, you know.
I guess. Yeah. I mean, I'm stoked you guys are still together. Like every time I see a new Melvin's album come out, I'm like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like a tried and true tradition. Not that the music sounds the same every album, but it's like, fuck yeah, the Melvins are still going and their shit still is fucking awesome.
Great. I'm glad you guys like it, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we definitely work hard at it, for sure. I mean, you know, and we don't take it for granted at all.
Yeah. Earlier, we was talking about, before you came on, John and I were talking about, I'm a big Ministry fan.
Oh, cool.
Ministry's like one of my favorite bands of all time.
Right.
And we was talking about Melvin's, you guys have always played like gnarly music, aggressive music. But you really, as a drummer, on a technical level, you don't really have a very aggressive style to your drumming. I mean, like something like Ministry or something, you know.
I suppose so. I mean, there's some stuff that's kind of bombastic, I guess. But...
Yeah, right. But my question would be to you, from a musical standpoint, how do you approach, like, you kind of answered it a second ago, but... How do you approach when Buzz gives you a new song you guys are working on? How do you decide how you're going to play it? Or do you ever think like, oh, this is going to be a real gnarly, bombastic one, or is this going to be kind of more groovy?
I mean, it depends, because sometimes he'll have an idea for the drums already, and he'll tell me what he wants. I mean, him being the songwriter, you know, I mean, he writes a lot for the drums. I mean, obviously this new record too, but I mean, that's something that he's usually thinking about, you know, and not always, but I mean. I'll play, you know, whatever I hear with my own musical sensibilities. And sometimes he'll say, no, that's kind of like too predictable, you know, try something else. Or like, I mean, we'll always reference stuff that we like too. Like, I mean, one that's definitely a big reference for us is Gang of Four, you know, and that style of drumming has always been big in the Melvins. Like the song Oven, you know, that's totally us, like trying to imitate like Gang of Four style drumming.
That's cool.
A little bit in our own way, you know.
Yeah, I need to go back and like listen to that song now.
Right. So I mean, yeah, a lot of times he'll have an idea, but not always, and sometimes I'll come up with stuff that I think is, you know, fitting. Like like that song The Bloated Pope. You guys, that one, like, you know, I remember when we wrote that one, it was pretty quickly, and this was back when we were paying for studio time, but we worked that out in the studio in like about an hour and recorded it. And you know, he had all the riffs and I just kind of came up with all the drum parts, and you know, so that was kind of all me pretty much.
Yeah.
Like the intro was almost like this weird little accident that I did. There's always stuff like that too. Like, like that song Hag Me, you know, that song, the weird hits at the end are all kind of like on the weird upbeat. And like once I like, you know, came in early on the hit before the upbeat, and it was like, oh fuck, that's cool, you got to do that and not play.
Keep doing that.
So there's stuff like that where it's just like, oh, it was an accident and it sounds great, so keep it like that, you know.
Fuck yeah, that's cool.
We've always said that we're accidentalists.
love it.
Another question I wanted to ask you is, I've always heard that you were, well, I guess when you first started playing, you're big into metal. Like Kiss and, you know, Judas Priest and all that. Do you still listen to a lot of current metal?
I'm trying to think of what. I mean, I would. You know, it depends. I mean, I'm trying to think of, like, some current metal, and I mean, I guess I don't. There's nothing that really comes to mind right now, but I mean, before I joined the band, like, I was really into like those drummers are always really good.
For sure.
Like Les Binks from Judas Priest, Clive Burr from Iron Maiden was the one that I really liked a lot. Just like kind of hard hitting drummers, and like those drummers, heavy metal drummers usually are all pretty good. And, that's kind of what those guys wanted, was a heavy metal drummer, you know, and I, you know, I more or less fit that, you know. I was 16 when I joined, so, and I didn't really, I had very little knowledge about any kind of punk rock stuff besides, like, well, I knew Gang of Four and I knew the Ramones, and so, you know, and maybe a few other things, but I'd never heard like Black Flag or any of those bands. I mean, we lived in a very remote area where, you know, the record store just didn't carry stuff like that, you know, and it wasn't like it is now where you can go online and listen to any band, you know. But those guys were into, I mean, they, you know, they went and bought records up in Seattle and stuff like that and kind of knew this whole underground scene or whatever. And and so when I first joined the band, like, they turned me on to, like, you know, 100 bands at once. It took me a long time to catch up. This is what we're into.
Overload.
Well, it's funny because they were still into things like Kiss when it was super uncool to be into that band. I mean, they'd still, it wasn't like, oh, we're a punk rock band, we just like this stuff. It's like, no, we still like the stuff that we grew up with, like Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin and that kind of stuff. But then we also like the Replacements and Black Flag and the Meat Puppets and Husker Du and you know, the tens of hundreds of other bands that they're into, you know.
Yeah, it's like you had your bedrock of like your traditional shit or like your more popular shit, and then you sprinkle in all the like underground stuff or whatever.
But it's funny because I think other punk rock people were always like kind of like baffled that we would listen to like, you know, Damaged and then listen to like Jimi Hendrix or something, you know. So but it just shows you that we were music fans, you know.
Right.
One of the first bands Buzz 100%. And I bonded over was Raven, funny enough, you know. Like, I was starting to get into like weird obscure British heavy metal, new wave of British heavy metal stuff, and that was a band that I liked. And it's like, oh, you like that band? Oh, I like them too. So, you know.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm trying to think of like some current metal stuff that I like. I know there's got to be something that I'm just like not thinking of right at the moment. But I mean, how about you guys?
You guys always tour with like fairly heavy bands.
Yeah,
sure.
You know.
Like we toured with like. Well, I mean, even that New Ministry stuff is good. Or like. We toured this band Spotlights.
Spotlights is fucking dope. They're your label mate.
We just had Chris, their drummer, on our podcast a few episodes ago.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Chris is a good dude. There's got to be something else that I'm probably going to think of after this interview. Like, oh yeah, is that band? I know one that I heard. Like, I mean, I hadn't listened to him too recently, but there was a band called King Woman.
Yeah, King Woman's dope. Yes.
Yeah, I thought that stuff was really good. What else? I know I'm going to think about it when we're done.
Yeah. Every time when we talk about new music at the beginning of the episode, I think about two other albums, and I was like, fuck, I should have brought that up.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Del, what I was saying that I thought was kind of funny is, like, we had talked about the new album being kind of like a, you know, if you're new to Melvin's, this would be like a good way to like get to know you guys. And I think it's fucking awesome that you started the album with a 19-minute song.
You know,
like if someone was new to you guys, they'd turn on the album and be like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, what is this? You know?
Right.
And I absolutely love that track, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Yeah. I like that one a lot too.
Yeah.
Our last record, Bad Mood Rising, had a really long track on there called Mr. Dog is Totally Right.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's the right title.
Yep.
Hey, I remembered a song title. But I remember Buzz saying like, oh, our next record, I want to do something where it's like really long songs, you know, and real kind of epic numbers or whatever. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm game for anything at this point, you know?
Yeah. I had totally forgot that the last album started with a 14 minute song too, so I should have remembered that. So
right. Yeah. I don't know. I really like that last record too. I almost think that maybe that didn't get too much attention, but it might have just been kind of the timing of everything.
Yeah.
We're coming off the pandemic, and that one was also on Amphetamine Reptile, and I remember like just stuff was so weird then because like the record getting stuff pressed was delayed because everybody was trying to like press the record at the same time.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it like showed up like a month early somehow and they weren't ready for it. So but I really liked that one a lot too. That was I really thought like that last one was one of my favorites for sure, you know.
I thought it was really good too.
I really liked the songs on that, songwriting.
Del, like, how do you keep track of like all of your guys' songs or like albums? Like, you know, like, I mean, I'm sure you have a rehearsal, you know, obviously before tour, like what songs you're going to play, old school, new school, but like,
how do
you even keep track?
I mean, I don't know how many records we've actually made, and I know that there's a ton, but I'm pretty good at remembering songs. I mean, you know, sometimes it's like takes a little bit if it's like, oh God, it's been a long time since we played this song, but I have a pretty good memory as far as that stuff goes.
Cool.
Yeah. More than most people. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Is Buzz the same way, or do you have to remind him? You're like, hey, this was on this album, or don't you remember this song?
Sometimes I'll go like, that's not right. That's not right. And I'm like, it's this. I think it's this.
Yeah.
But then sometimes we'll just say, oh, well, fuck it. We'll just play it a different way anyway. I mean, you know, and sometimes that'll happen where it'd be like, oh, I'll listen back and I'm like, oh, wait, oh, we only do that part this many times, or we're not doing it enough, or we're doing it differently. And it's, you know, and then Buzz will just say like, well, you know, the records are just a suggestion about how the songs are.
I mean, that makes the live experience that much better, right? Like if you have a favorite Melvin song and then you guys go and play it live and it's got like a whole new vibe to it, you know?
Right.
Makes it that much better.
Like I know when we play that song Lysol, like that's the whole beginning is different than what it was originally. So,
right.
And I don't know if just like, you know, I mean, I'm playing it pretty much the same, but I know that Buzz is playing it a little bit differently. But yeah, whatever. I mean, the whole meat of the song is pretty much the same. Just the beginning is slightly different. Yeah. So.
Do you ever like go back and listen to your albums from like back in the day or like a decade ago or like anything like that?
Not really for fun or anything like that. Sometimes if it is to remember a song, but I mean, no, not usually. You know, like I was saying earlier, it's like once we make a record, we'll listen to it a bunch just because we're making sure that we like it, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you just kind of move on, you know?
Okay.
I mean, you know, but yeah, I mean, not rarely, or if I'm going to play it like, oh, I don't know. I mean, it hardly ever comes up, you know, sometimes, but.
You're not just throwing on Houdini just for the fuck of it?
No, I mean, we always said like, oh, that's kind of like going back and reading your own book, you know, it's like, would you do that? Probably not.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, cool.
Does it bother you when you do like interviews or if people just want to talk about old stuff?
No, I don't mind.
No?
You know? No, I mean, it's whatever. It's history. I mean, you guys haven't brought up Nirvana at all. What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, since you brought it up, no. Yeah.
I mean, people, of course, people want to know about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever. And it's like, you know.
Right.
I get it. And I mean, no, it's like, you know, we do interviews because we're promoting something.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. That makes sense. So Dale, did you know that Steve Albini passed away the other day?
I did. I saw that this morning.
Yeah. You know? I was, so, I mean, with a somewhat Nirvana connection, did you have any interaction with Steve? Like, I know you guys never did a record together or anything like that, right?
No, but we went bowling once.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, it was with we were in Chicago and we were hanging out with David Yao and those guys were friends, and we all went bowling, and they had this style of bowling that was pretty funny. It was like, okay, now we're gonna do left-handed bowling, you know, and then it was like left-handed bowling, check your shit. So like grabbing your crotch while you're bowling left-handed, and then it was like, okay, left-handed, no peeky, check your shit.
Oh, no.
And then it just kept getting more ridiculous and more ridiculous. Okay, now left-handed, spin around 3 times, no peeky, check your shit. And so you'd be like, you know, like zigzagging down the bowling lane and throwing your ball.
We're trying to kill you, basically.
So,
yeah.
So it's pretty funny. And I also remember we played Pictionary.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, some people record records with Steve Albini.
Right.
We bowled and played Pictionary. But, yeah, it was, you know, it's always a bummer to hear somebody that's young like that, like,
yeah, I agree.
You know, dying, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know the circumstances other than it sounded like he had a heart attack.
Yeah, that's everyone's saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's odd. Like, I guess we're kind of at that age where you know, people start having heart attacks and stuff like that.
I mean, I have to say, like, as I was like thinking about maybe the connection, I was like, there's no way the Melvins didn't do a record with Steve Albini. And I like went and did my research and I was like, nope. You know, it's like, did you guys ever get close to like, or was it just like, you know, just kind of mutual, you know, kind of.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. No, it was never really. I mean, I guess we're just kind of in our own world, I guess. You know,
for sure.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's definitely records of his that we've really liked. I mean, I really, one for sure is this EP that he did by this band Pussy Galore called Sugar Shit Sharp.
Yeah.
That record, I still really like that record a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and then like the Jesus Lizard stuff.
Of course.
The Pixies.
Yep.
I'm sure there's probably something else I'm not thinking of, but I mean, and we liked Big Black stuff too. Yeah, pretty weird, you know.
Yeah, just sudden, you know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, yeah, I guess I always worry about that stuff and do my yearly doctor visits.
Yeah, your make sure everything's annual okay. Checkups.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Last one I went to, they said, "Oh, you're in really good shape." So.
It's all that drumming. That's what keeps you in shape. All that,
yeah.
You know.
Maybe. maybe. I mean, you know.
Yeah. I always see video clips of like Alex Van Halen. He's always got like that neck brace and he's playing the drums, you know.
Oh, right, because he had some back issues, I think, at one time.
Like drumming aggressive, I mean, man.
Right. Well, I had I ended up having to have, and this, guys, maybe you guys know this, but I missed the last tour because I had to have back surgery. I had spinal stenosis where the vertebrae in my neck were compressing my spinal cord.
Yeah.
And it was like, I just thought that it hurt, but I just thought I'd pinched a nerve.
Yeah.
And I went to the doctor thinking like, oh, I'll get a cortisone shot and be on my merry little way.
Yeah.
And they were like, something else is wrong. And they did an MRI and told me like, oh, fuck, you're fucked up.
Yeah.
You have to have surgery. I was like, really? Wow. So, I had that and I'm doing fine now.
Yeah. Like, how are you feeling? I know you just said you had a checkup, but like, is everything going okay?
Oh yeah. I mean, as far as that goes, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty much fully recovered.
Good.
You know?
Love it. Good.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't really played a show, but coming up soon.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Melvin's aren't doing anything, only because, Buzz had this big solo tour booked, before the pandemic, and it all got, like, it was a massive tour and it all got canceled because of that. And so the last couple of years we've done a ton of touring, and so now he wanted to rebook the solo thing, and to not let things completely die out, we had this record that we wanted to put out, you know. So but we definitely have plans for next year
that are in the works.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
I don't know how much I can say about it, other than we definitely have stuff going on.
Do you think Roy's going to come with you guys? I mean, you probably can't say that, right?
Cody's going to play with us again.
Oh, cool. No way.
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, that'll be good.
Yeah, that's great news. Holy shit.
That'll be really good.
Nice.
I'm about to go on this tour with Red Cross.
I love Red Cross so much.
Oh, great. They have a new record that's coming out that's really good.
Oh.
Like a big double record.
Oh, nice.
I don't plan it because they recovered it when I was recovering still.
Okay.
But they wanted to get something out this summer so they could do a tour. They just did this movie that just came out, like documentary on them.
Yep.
Big double record. It's the Red Album. It's like the White Album by the Beatles.
Nice. Who played drums on the new album?
Josh Klinghoffer.
Oh, cool. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah,
from Chili Peppers, actually a really good drummer. Stuff like that, War Paint. Yep.
The first time I saw him, he was playing with PJ Harvey.
Oh, no shit.
But Steven used to play in Sparks with them.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So, Josh has a studio, and I went over there when they were recording, and it was pretty cool. Like, it was like he has an amazing collection of guitars and drums and keyboards and synthesizers and just like crazy.
Yeah.
So I know those guys had a really good time making that record. So besides playing drums on the tour, Steven had asked me if I wanted to DJ.
Nice.
Opening the show. So yeah. I'll be playing, well, I probably won't be playing records, but I'll be playing stuff on some sort of computer setup.
Hell yeah.
And then he also just kind of at the last minute was like, and he said that Josh actually brought this up. He's like, have him do a solo thing. So I'm for the first time going to play some solo acoustic stuff.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So you hinted at the top of the show that you were working or finalizing like a solo album. Like,
there's a new solo record that's going to come out in the fall on Joyful Noise.
Oh, sweet. Oh, cool. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is this just you or can you just say?
It's mostly just me, but no, there's some guest stars on it for sure. Cool. I gave one away already.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, you gave one away. Yeah, you have to rewind, listeners. You have to rewind to the beginning.
Yes.
But I'll give you a hint. There's other people I've mentioned. I think almost everybody. There's a couple of people that I mentioned in this interview that are going to be on the record.
Nice.
So. Oh, there we go. Easter egg.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's cool. You said it's coming out in the fall.
It's coming out in the fall. I think September.
Okay.
September.
Cool.
Sweet. And then I mean, it's going to be it'll be announced soon, fairly soon.
Okay.
And there'll be some new stuff not too long from now.
Cool.
That you'll be able to hear.
Very nice.
Yeah.
It's exciting. And
yeah, I worked really hard on this, so.
Fuck yeah. Stoked to listen to it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Very cool.
Number off top of your head, how many albums have you ever worked on?
Wow, I have no idea.
Just
I
mean, take a lot. Guess. Just like take a guess. 10,000.
Not that many, but maybe. I mean, I bet it's. I mean, with everything,
like 1,000, 500, 600.
Oh, I was thinking more closer to like 100, which is still a lot. But I mean, I don't know. That's a good question because there's like, I mean, I do and I'm doing a lot of like session work as well for like people that want.
Saw that. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So yeah. So, yeah, I'm for hire, you know? I mean, seriously, if you know, I mean, I record stuff. I was just recording stuff for people this week. So
nice.
All you got to do is mail me at dalecroverdrums@gmail.com.
There you go.
Right. And you can hire me for your project.
Hell yeah.
You know, I do all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I don't know, like a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what I do. I like recording a lot, so... but I played on a lot of records.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hell yeah. Yeah, you brought up Red Cross earlier, and now you know Stevens also in the Melvins. And now, when you played with Red Cross, did you record any with Red Cross, or did you just do touring?
I did their last record, Beyond the Door.
Okay.
So yeah, I was going to play on this record, but it just kind of worked out to where Yeah,
I mean, resting is pretty good, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, we were working on a whole bunch of demos before that happened, you know.
So did Josh write parts, like, based off your demos?
He might have. I'm not really sure. I'm sure that those guys played in the demos, but, I mean, it's pretty similar. I mean, those guys definitely have, like, a style of drumming.
Yeah,
You know, that they like, and they'll, like, you know... Like I'll use my own musical sensibility, but then they'll be like, no, play it more like this, you know? I mean, it's a lot of like, I mean, it's someplace between like Ringo, Charlie Watts, and Keith Moon, I suppose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
60s style drumming, but there's definitely like a Red Cross style.
Yeah.
You know? And I really liked it. I mean, they've always had good drummers, but like Roy McDonald, who is no relation to Steve or Jeff McDonald, was a really great drummer in the band. I remember seeing him and thinking, like, oh, he's really good. So, you know, kind of like in his vein of drumming, I think, is sort of the Red Cross style.
Right.
I mean, I play like I play, but, I mean, I try to, you know, it's definitely different. You know, it's fun. It's really fun drumming, that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They have a lot of catchy songs. Even some of the new ones are like, I find them in my head a lot.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's good stuff.
I'm just glad you didn't listen to the new album and you're like, Josh, what were you doing?
I have to play this live. No, I mean, he's a good drummer. And I mean,
well,
it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to it.
Hell yeah.
And then, yeah, like it's going to be like, it'll be a trip playing acoustic for the first time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm dude. Like, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out what to play exactly. I have a few ideas, but I mean, it's just going to be like, it'll be weird.
Just
how long is your acoustic set like on the tour?
I don't think I'm going to make it longer than like 20 minutes. Cause okay. I mean, yeah. I think that, you know, that's plenty, you know, like, especially if it's like half, like, I mean, I imagine that I'll just start playing records or music or whatever.
Yeah.
And then stop. Do like a 15 to 20 minute set and then take a break and then Red Cross will play.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So are you coming to Utah? Are you guys coming to Salt Lake?
We are. I'm pretty sure that we are. Yes. And Chicago. So yeah, I'm pretty. Let me. You know what? Maybe I can look without losing you this time. But let me just check really quick. Wait, it's not there. Can you guys still hear me?
Still hear. Yeah, of course. Yes.
Right, let me look really quick and just see. We are coming to Salt Lake City. We'll be there July 12th at the Metro Music Hall.
I'll be there.
And then Chicago. Oop. One second, I'll tell you where Chicago is. It's
July 16th.
That's right, at the Lincoln Hall.
Oh, nice. Lincoln Hall's a good venue.
Great.
I just bought yesterday, or was it this morning? I bought tickets for the Shellac and Off.
Oh yeah, you know? I just saw that like yesterday, yeah. that was announced. So wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm a jinx.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't the new Shellac album come out like Friday or next Friday, I think, or so, some shit like that?
I saw that they had a new record coming out too. Yeah.
Ugh. Wow. Craziness.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah. Well, definitely.
Anyways, yeah. I'll be at the July 12th mm-hmm. show, and I'll be like, Dale, do you remember me from the podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely come up and say hi. I'm sure cool. that I'm... Wait, what's the name of the place that I just said we're playing?
Metro.
I can't remember which place that is.
It's like, it's kind of down south of Salt Lake City, and it's like a really kind of like rectangular kind of cement kind of like venue, if that makes sense.
Have we played there before? Have the Melvins played there before?
Not that I know of. Last time I saw you guys, I think was at Urban Lounge, but I'm not 100%.
Right. No, last time we played there, it was really great, and it was super hot. I remember it was like broiling inside the venue.
It was probably Urban Lounge. Urban Lounge is really fucking hot.
It was... I have to look, because like there's... yeah, I have to look it up and see. So... you know, and hopefully there's time to go eat at the Red Iguana.
Yeah, man. Hell yeah.
Get some mole.
Yep.
Yeah.
You've definitely been to Salt Lake City a lot of times if you're shouting out Red Iguana.
Yeah. Yeah, our one of our old sound guys, he's like, oh man, this is one of the best Mexican restaurants in the country.
Yep.
I'd never been there, and he's like, yeah, I'm gonna go. So
If you're not wanting to wait in line, go to Red Iguana too. Which is basically like a block south of that, and that place you can walk right in without having to wait for like an hour.
That's funny. Yeah, I know. I've been to both of them.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
If you don't want to wait, go to just go to two. It's like a block south, and then you won't have to sit in line all fucking night. So.
Do people like one better for some reason?
No, I mean it's the exact same recipes. Like the kitchen setup. It's just two's a little bit roomier. You won't get, the ambiance, but if you've been to Red Iguana 1,000 times, then just go there, go to 2 for the food. You know,
sure.
You don't have to sit outside for an hour, so.
Right. Yep. Yeah. The only problem is I got to play and sing, and that's always, like, you know.
Gut full of Mexican food.
Yeah. That's always hard, but maybe we'll get in, like, early or something. I don't know.
I'll pick you guys takeout for after the show. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. That sounds good.
So what's the absolute upcoming next for you coming up here soon?
Coming up here soon. Well, the Red Cross thing for sure. We're playing Punk Rock Bowling. That's going to be our first show back.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's cool.
That'll be fun. It's our own gig. Like it's part of the festival, but it's our own standalone gig.
Sure.
That's super cool.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. That'll be really good. I mean, just, you know, getting ready to rehearse with those guys a bunch. I've been doing a bunch of recording. I'm going back to LA Saturday to do some more recording. So keep
for
busy.
For the solo album or for what? Oh, it's a secret.
It's a secret.
Yeah.
God damn it. Sort of a secret. I mean, you know, it's Melvin's related.
Okay.
Let's put it that way. So,
hell yeah.
We're already thinking ahead.
You guys never stop. No. It seriously feels like you guys never stop, which I absolutely love.
Well, it's funny. I mean, like, you know, like with this new record, it's like we recorded it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I mean, we started like... It was right after that ministry tour that we did the recording with Roy.
Yeah.
So if you think about that, that was over 2 years ago.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, I guess so, it just takes a minute for the machine to turn it out or whatever.
For sure. So, I mean, it usually works out that way that, like, by the time the record will come out, we're kind of on to doing our next thing.
Yeah.
You know? And not every band works like that, but we've always felt like we had to, you know, to, so, you know, I mean, we can't like, you know, put a record out every 6 years and have it be have a sustainable living,
right.
You know, off of this. Like, we constantly keep working, but we also like to, you know? I mean, this is something we really, really like doing, and, you know, we don't want to stop.
Yeah. It makes perfect sense.
Well, we don't want to rest on our laurels.
Yeah, I mean, I know we both appreciate it, so mm-hmm. I mean, just keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the plan, anyway.
Yeah. I want to say thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to hang out
absolutely.
With us.
No problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me on.
It was a lot of fun. Everyone, go out.
Honestly, Dale, like, really appreciate it, man. Like, this was really fucking cool. Really appreciate
right
it.
Right on. Thank you so much.
Also, you should be thankful that me and John haven't geeked out 100% yet, because most of the time we probably make our guests want to strangle us by the time the hour's over.
So. No problem. Hurry,
just hurry and ask him a bunch of Nirvana questions.
All right, what was it like being in Nirvana? No, I'm kidding. But everyone go out and check out Tarantula Heart. If you're not a Melvins fan or you haven't took the deep dive yet, I personally think it's a great place to start. And embodies everything what the Melvins are about, and it's just a really good, noisy, gnarly record. And
cool. Yeah, thanks so much, and I hope to see you guys this summer.
Yep.
At the Dale Krober, the Dale Krober show. I'm DJing, I'm playing guitar, I'm playing drums. It's like the Dale Krober show featuring Red Cross.
It's the
Red Cross.
It's the summer of Dale.
The summer of Dale. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. I'm looking forward to it, you know.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude! Yeah. It's gonna be awesome.
It's the summer of Dale.
Summer of Dale.
Yeah,
they should name the tour that.
Yeah.
Tell him.
Yeah.
You gotta text Steven now and be like, "Hey, I have an idea."
Yeah. Right. He'll love it. Yeah.
That's good merch too. I would totally rock a T-shirt that says "The Summer of Dale."
Give me a Summer of Dale T-shirt.
Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, it's funny because I was just talking. Like, I should make a poster that's like Dale Krober featuring Red Cross.
Yeah, and little tiny letters.
With special guest Red Cross.
Yeah. Well, there was that band from Seattle that we all loved called Malfunction.
Uh-huh.
Who I don't know if you know who those guys were at all. They were like the local band. Like, the singer ended up being in a band with the Pearl Jam guys, pre-Pearl Jam.
Okay.
Mother Love Bone. He was in Mother Love Bone.
Okay, yeah, of course, yeah.
But anyway, like, Malfunction were kind of like the weirdo, like, punk rock Kiss sort of.
Oh, cool.
You know? But they used to make flyers that were like, you know, it'd be like, you know, Malfunction featuring, you know, there were really small letters in the down below, like, with a dead Kennedy. Yeah.
You know, that's a baller move. I mean,
yeah
it was always really funny, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew that they were joking, but I mean, you know, it's pretty funny. It's
still fucking cool. Yeah. Dale, you got to bring it back. Summer Dale.
Summer Dale, man.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us. This is
right on. Thank
this
you.
This has been the Crush Monocle Podcast. I am your host, Coop. This is my co-host, John.
Yo.
And this has been the legendary Dale Krober, The Summer of Dale.
The Summer of Dale.
It's the Dale Krober Podcast.
That's it.
Featuring Coop and John, the Dale Krober Podcast.
Yes, that's how I should title this.
Special guest. You know?
So,
featuring Crush Monocle Podcast.
I'll see you guys here next time on my podcast.
Love it.
Yeah, I love it.
So good.
Thank you so much. And we'll see you out there.
See you down next time.